Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Wednesday, January 19th, 2011. This is Dr. Kate broadcasting from a different location this evening. I've been off the air for a couple of weeks because I've been moving and relocating for a number of reasons, maybe some of which you've heard about. And I'm going to be getting to that a little later this evening. But before we begin, I'd like to first of all, welcome everyone who's out there listening. Hopefully my friends from North Dakota are listening. Good evening. Also to all of our active military, active and retired military, veterans of foreign wars, we welcome you here. Hope that you listen. Hope that you join us often and know that we have your backs as best as we can, and we're doing what we can here. We support you immensely, and we want you home because we need you. And in any case, thank you. And to all those who will be listening later, thanks very much for coming. The title of this show tonight is, quote, "Is the End of the Obama Regime Near?" And of course, a girl can dream. But there are a number of events happening both on the negative and the positive side that suggest that the wheels are coming off the wagon, that there has not been a very good job of hiding the New World Order agenda, and the Obama handlers are stepping up attacks and so forth. So I would say that to that answer to that question is probably depends on what the meaning of the word near is. but we are seeing the light. We are not the populations of the past. We have educated ourselves. We are stronger. We are more independent. Most of us, well, some of us have survived. A good portion of us have survived the efforts to undermine our whole system. So let me start this evening by saying hi, Echo Foxtrot. Thank you for joining us. And two guests, thank you for joining us as well. You're welcome to call in if you want. The number is 347-838-9176. And tonight it will be a little bit of a shortened show. Instead of 10 hours, it'll only be 9. Okay. Let's review a number of things that have happened in the last several months, which are related to Obama's lack of eligibility for the office. And for the record, we understand that Obama is a dual citizen. He was born British at birth, and we don't even know where he was born, and that doesn't matter. His definition of natural-born citizen is born of the country of two U.S. citizen parents. So no matter what forgery is produced by Hawaii, that will be something that will have to be examined, and he can't change the fact that whoever his father is, he claims somebody who is a foreigner, and ultimately that makes him completely ineligible for the office. Yes, there's an interesting statement out here in the chat. If Obama can be implicated in the Arizona shootings, that the judge was the target, that will hasten his exit. And that's something we're going to talk about tonight, too, is I've been doing some work on Judge Roe, and there's some interesting articles coming up from the Insider and it's related in many ways. So we're going to talk about that, Echo Foxtrot, and I have written that down, so we'll go there. But it does fit into what I would call the last desperate attempts to hide his ineligibility and to shield everyone who is culpable now. And this is the big issue, is once, Abercrombie came out with the statement that the long-form birth certificate doesn't exist, there you go. We now have people who know this. We have a man sitting in jail at Fort Leavenworth because he asked for this. What are they going to do now? Even if they produce a stupid document, they have to address this issue. So these are the last desperate attacks, efforts to get rid of this question. Look what has happened in the last 2 years. All the cases have been thrown out. The attorneys have either been fined or trashed or threatened. Who knows? Judges have been threatened and so forth. We've had Lakin jailed. We've had other people, Stephen Cook, if you recall, lost his job and refused to deploy and so forth, and had all kinds of implications in his economic work. There's something that's happened to me, which I will be talking about, but this is the fierce, ruthless, and ultimately cowardly effort by the Obots and the Obama regime and his little enablers, hat tip to Troy, for calling them essentially communists by proxy. As the day the Chinese flag raises itself above or is raised above the American flag on the White House, these idiots are still calling for death to the birthers. I mean, how stupid is that? And can you now see what this is? So I put a post up today in which I have some, you know, most polite but intended to cut their knees off words, you know, the idiots who keep trying to blame all of us for these efforts and to call us racist for looking at a major constitutional issue on the right and on the left are communists by proxy, moving this forward by themselves. So, cowardly attacks. They cannot prove us wrong, so they have to attack us. We have Lakin sitting in jail, absolutely railroaded, denied the birth certificate. Did Judge Lind know that there was no birth certificate? And if, in fact, she did, why did she send somebody to jail? Everybody who conspired to derail Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin needs to be investigated. But I would say right now Obama's, or, you know, call him Obama's beard, Abercrombie's admission that he can't find a long-form birth certificate is enough to absolutely call for an immediate investigation of the Lakin court-martial. And I would encourage everyone out there to write their congressman and lay this out and send them the article that Abercrombie can't prove it. Now, if we go to Abercrombie himself, remember, he's the one who read the letter that said Obama, from the White House, supposedly, that Obama was born in at Kapi'olani Hospital in Hawaii. And of course not. The hospital would not acknowledge that at all. And, you know, Speaker Boehner said that what the state of Hawaii has said is good enough for me. Well, then that means that Fukino lied. She didn't see anything. She didn't see any vital records. Of course, they're now all conveniently resigned or moved out, but Abercrombie has, you know, really now ruined. The last obstacle or diversion is over. So, like I say, look at the implications now. We need to immediately call for that investigation of the Lakin court-martial. And the bots are very quiet. The Obots are very quiet. Haven't gotten any death threats lately. But I predict they're just going to revert to the race card or some other stupid thing or go after individuals in a negative way, like Chris Matthews did. He forgot he called for the release of the long-form birth certificate. Now he's reverting to the race card. So, terrific. I would expect, though, that there are going to be stepped-up New World Order attacks and diversions. Now, the shooting last weekend, Giffords doing better, still in intensive care, but, you know, what happened? What about the bullets? What about the judge? Who was there? What about the reports on from the ground from the FBI? Where's the killer now? Is he going to live to go to trial? What about the corrupt sheriff here who immediately blamed it on the Tea Party? But look at the audacity of the Obamas coming to Arizona and rubbing it in Arizona's face. And let me back off from this and let you know, if I can find it on my blog at the break here, there is an article by the Insider that said that after Obama made the speech in Tucson that he and Michelle were celebrating and high-fiving. But recall what, you know, what? Why? Because he pulled off another lie? Remember that an Alinsky-trained individual is trained to rub raw the emotions that produce situations like a shooting or race relations or inner city strife. That's the role of the quote-unquote community organizer trained in Alinsky, is you rub raw those emotions. So he came down and rubbed raw those emotions by making it a party. And, you know, the White House claimed they were embarrassed by the applause and the whistles. Well, why did they have a jumbotron up there calling for applause? So when you start anything, like they launched their 2012 campaign on the coffins of Americans, what does that tell you about the type of people these are? Their victory is when we die. I'm not cool with that. I am not okay with that. I've been investigating the role piece. I'll get back to that in a minute. But the stepped-up New World Order attacks and diversions, also what happened in the last couple of days with China, and this is close to the State of the Union address, and with not only the flags flying, now just your average Joe is not going to like a communist flag flying on our White House. But also, if you, I'm going to put my recent post in the chat room, mainly so you can look at the picture that was produced by Lame Cherry, essentially. But look at the picture here, and you can see Obama bowing to the president of China while the flag, American flag, is tipped to the Chinese flag in front of the White House and over the White House. I am not okay with this. Take a look at that picture. It is outrageous. And here we are for 2 years being diverted by this stupid birth certificate when it's pretty obvious that what the definition of natural-born citizen is, and that Congress can't change that, and that people conspired to make fraud. And here, while this is going on and everybody's quote-unquote afraid or not sure that this is true, that Obama is really not eligible, how could he do this? He's selling our country down the tubes. Look at that picture. Yes, that's treason. But this could have been stopped in the first place. Hang on, excuse me. Sorry, just myself tonight in my new empty house. Well, it's not my house, I'm a renter, and it's not new, but it's empty. It is ridiculous to have this happening because we know he's ineligible, and we have people who are sitting on this truth afraid to let it out because they think there will be riots, quote-unquote riots, and that is a racist statement in itself. As if black people, people of color, as if the very proud Mexican-American U.S. citizens would not be offended by and upset by the fact that Obama lied to everybody. How much money did he raise from you? How much money did he pull out of your pocket? None out of mine. But I know a lot of people who gave the max and more. And, of course, he had all that money from, you know, hidden in small donations from the Middle East. And conveniently, TARP, the Troubled Assets Relief Program, right? But look at TARP. What is a TARP? It covers something. TARP is being used, I'm sure. Where is that money now? It paid back Obama's benefactors. But when you are owe something to a bank and you've run out of cash or whatever to pay them, what do you give them? You give them your assets. They take your car, they take your house, they take everything. Well, the United States is up to dead in its ears to the Chinese. The Chinese just announced that, oh, well, yeah, the U.S. dollar is like a thing of the past, and there's Obama bowing away again. Thank you very much, Obots, communist by proxies, who are supporting this. So what is Obama going to do, and what has Secretary of State Hillary Clinton done? Allowed essentially eminent domain and basically selling our lands, not selling our lands, giving our lands to the Chinese. They're our bankers. So in Times Square today, there was apparently the big sort of debut of a whole multicultural dimensional picture of China for all of America to see. And there's Obama bowing in a photograph and the Chinese flag flying on top of the White House, in front of the White House. Excuse me, probably was flying on top too. Do you get the message? Who owns us now? So now let me tie this into why we have been diverted by this birth certificate and by these communists by proxy. Let's talk who they are, the Caflog people, the Colonel Obot, the Fogbo people, Daily Kos, Huffington Post, the lamestream media, the controlled media. They've just poo-pooed this issue, and they have, in fact, allowed their country, our country, to be sold down the tubes. And now, for just a matter of ego and pride, they can't admit they're wrong. And, oh, no, the American people will riot. Well, for darn sure, we're also going to riot if you don't do anything about it. And, in fact, you know, they're afraid. They don't want to get the information out. They probably know it, of course. They're either being paid to shut up or they're just being scared. And they're not scared for us. They're scared for themselves because they were part of this fraud. All of them should be out of a job. The only people who should be really in the media right now are the only people we can rely on, the bloggers and so forth. All right, so these are the last desperate attacks. You can expect their increase. I was talking about China as really a diversion, you know, but it's fundamental. I mean, everyone wants to go after him for treason, but step back here. The guy shouldn't even be in there. You want to stop this thing with China? Get him out now on eligibility. The legislative process is just continuing to play the game. They don't want to touch it. Why? Because they're afraid of their job. Stand up, for heaven's sakes. Your job is over. Anyone who claimed that the reading of the Constitution was a fetish has perjured themselves in their oath and should step down and resign immediately. And I hope that anyone listening out there has any representatives or senators who did that and mocked that, to get them out, recall them, tell them to resign. By the way, just a side aspect, the Democrats that are resigning or not running again, I think Lieberman, Comrade, from North Dakota and others, watch what they're doing, because as we've seen, these people leave just in time to avoid any prosecution for their role in any cover-up. What cover-up might Lieberman have? Lieberman was Obama's mentor. Lieberman supported McCain. McCain let Obama get in. He still thinks Obama's a wonderful American and has no problem with it. McCain is playing the game. So watch who they are and who they retire, because they've left something there that's illegal, and we have to work with them to find it out. So now, I don't know if any of you had read the lame cherry articles that have been coming out. Some of them are linked in the post that I just came up. And if you don't know lame cherry, you have to really read him or her to understand, but he has been calling out this issue for a long time, and I'm telling you a little bit of my story right now just because it fits in with this issue of China. I have worked on Indian reservations for 30 years. I'm a water rights specialist and have been around Indian natural resources for a long, long time. I've worked in various capacities, from a federal employee to nonprofit corporation to a tribal employee to consultant to various other capacities, so with most of a focus on water. What you may not know is that Indian tribes own about, or let's put it this way, about 70% of the uranium in the United States is located on Indian reservations. About 60% of the coal And we used to say about 40% of the oil and gas in the United States was on Indian reservations, but we now find that especially up in North Dakota and the Bakken field, on top of which sit the three affiliated tribes of the Fort Berthold Reservation, is hundreds of billions of, I guess that's trillions of trillions of gallons of oil and gas and cubic feet of gas, so forth. So it's just enormously productive. And it sits on Indian reservations. So remember, I'm going to tie this back to Tucson because remember that Obama brought in the Indians in Tucson to, as Lame Cherry quoted, quote, wave a feather. At the white people. And just what I've observed, when you wave a feather, you are cleansing in some way. I don't know. It could mean various other things depending on traditions and so forth, but this was a scripted event. Okay, back to reservations. So I've known all of this I worked for a group called the Council of Energy Resource Tribes, which still exists. It's located in Denver. You can look them up. And I am sure that they're in discussions with the White House and so forth. So Indians have what they call domestic-dependent sovereignty. They're domestic-dependent nations, a kind of quasi-sovereignty. The only place tribes are mentioned in the Constitution is in the Commerce Clause, where Congress is given the authority to, quote, regulate the trade among the Indian nations. Because the word nations was used, and at the time it was foreign nations, really foreign countries, when the Constitution was written, that has been built upon to create a quasi-sovereignty that works today. As you know, land bases have been reduced. Tribes have given up some of their own land. Some lands have been taken and so forth. But the treaties, where those lands were designated, are also the supreme law of the land because they are in the Constitution. But all treaties are there. They do not supersede the Constitution, but they are... they're high up there in terms of, quote-unquote, the law of the land. So in these treaties, some of which are existing reservations and historic reservations, what has happened in the last many years is that the historic lands, which are not the current reservation lands, have been deemed to retain certain hunting, fishing, and now mineral rights that allow the tribes access to those lands, even though they may be owned by the state, quote-unquote, owned by the state right now, or private individuals and so forth. There are lots of specific provisions for that, and that's quite a general statement. But the point is this. Remember, we have China owning everything, that we are broke. We can't print any more money because it's worthless anyway, and that essentially the bank has come to collect. And what's available? It's probably the Indian reservations. And there is an avenue which Obama has been photographed and has taken particular interest in Indian tribes in giving back vast portions of land, even Manhattan, 640 million acres of, quote, historic reservation lands and so forth. So let's tie in George Soros, who was quoted as saying that, you know, China should become part of the New World Order. And one thing I don't like about China, he says, is that they're going after assets. They're not going after currency. Of course, what are we going after? What is Soros after? Currency, the money, that kind of thing. They're also after assets, too, but in a different kind of way. They want to hide their assets, control the money supply. But China is going after assets. So what are those? Gold, oil, gas, minerals? They're all going after that. Do you understand what the mineral wealth of Tibet is? It's not a religious issue there for, it is for the Tibetans in many ways, but for the Chinese it isn't. They've just got tons of nickel and all other kinds of really heavy-duty industrial minerals right there in the Tibetan Plateau. What about Afghanistan? Imagine my surprise when I looked up a huge report that basically said they found billions of dollars of minerals, gems, oil and gas in Afghanistan. And, you know, I thought we were over there fighting a war or something. Or trying to find bin Laden. What are we doing there? So you can see that the Chinese, the United States, we're all going after assets. The Chinese are going after assets, but in the United States, the assets are primarily located on public lands and Indian reservations. So in walks, you know, essentially Obama, and he basically says, I'll give you anything you need. Let's develop those resources. Let's just go for it. Let's have one-stop shopping. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to tell you that, you know, it's probably the Chinese who are going to develop those resources, because we, the United States, don't do that anymore, and we don't have the money for that, so we're going to let the Chinese come in and do that. What do you think? So if you look at the lame cherry threads, you can imagine what we have now is, you know, 535 federally recognized Indian reservations in the United States, upon which this administration is counting on stealing those resources to give it to China, which means that we might have, you know, foreign troops stationed within the United States. There's a reservation in each state in the country developing Indian resources under the guise of some kind of sovereignty, and guarding those resources. And as Lame Cherry said, how'd you like to see, you know, People's Liberation Army soldiers stationed along the Missouri River guarding their oil wells from those quote-unquote pesky North Dakotans who thought it was American oil. This is very serious. This is serious stuff. I would say right now that, and let me take this a little bit further. I told you about Obama rubbing raw the emotions, and you know how he guilt-tripped us 4 years and still does on being racist and because of blacks. And the NAACP just covered up George Washington's statue on Martin Luther King Day. That's not what Martin Luther King would do. This is just absolute, this is absolute disgrace. So what's he going to do now? If anyone complains about any Indian reservations, what do you think is going to be done? You stupid Americans, you stole the land from these Indians anyway. You have no right to say anything. They're sovereign nations, and they're controlled by federal law. That's true. State law has no application on Indian reservations. So do you see what's happening here? And if we allow any of that political correctness or that kind of rubbing raw emotions and guilt-tripping to control this, we have just lost our lands. We have just lost our lands to the Chinese and our resources. And it's done under the guise of this. So when you call for an investigation for your congressman to say, you know what, I think there's some really strange stuff going on with the casinos or with natural resource development or with other kinds of things going on there, find some evidence, take a look at it. Because the other thing that's involved here is, sure, I'll develop your resources if you can help me win in 2012. And those reservations, believe me, especially and also that casino money, and everybody from outside communities who works on Indian reservations on, in those casinos are subject to bribery for vote buying. And those reservations in key states can make absolute difference in primaries. The main difference, 5,000 or 6,000 votes, makes a whole big difference in the quote-unquote lonely midsection of the United States, but also in California, also Washington, Oregon, all kinds of states, Montana, North Dakota, it makes a big difference. And who gets in as a tribal leader now, too? there's vote fraud going on right there as well. So on several fronts, one, in our sovereignty, on natural resources development, on Indian reservations, who's doing that? Is it the United States, is it the tribes, or it's a foreign nation? Who's doing it, and when, under what guise, and using the power of executive order, he's planning on circumventing Congress. So what's going on? People need to pay attention to that, to alert their congressmen and senators, and be a heads up, because this is a key issue. It could slip right under the door because nobody pays attention to Indians. That's exactly what Obama is counting on. So on the national security front and development, is important. Now remember what he's just done to the Gulf Coast states, right? He stopped oil development there, so he's going to drill on reservations. How do you think that's going to make the Gulf state people feel about Indian people and vice versa? The Indians are now getting all this oil development, but Obama shut them off down in the Southwest. These are big-time politics designed to split us in every possible way. And what's he going to say when the Gulf Coast states complain? Oh, shut up, you racist. These are Indians. They have the right to develop their resources, too. And, you know, we got to balance this for global warming and all that stuff, so shut up. And he's going to call everyone awful because we stole the land from the Indians. No, that's not true. They were also paid for it. And yes, there were wars. I'm not whitewashing any of that. But, you know, the treaties are the treaties. There are some ongoing obligations, but there's no need for any more guilt-tripping here at all. And but believe me, they're going to pull that out. Absolutely. I hope that the tribes don't stand for that crap. I agree. I think the leaders right now are being bought off. And I think that one of the ways they're doing this is they're keeping it from the regular people. Because me, I work for regular people out on the reservation. What I would do, you know, I can drill a well. I can build your dam. I can identify a big management plan if you need to. I can restore your watershed. I can figure out a lot of things for you. And I have worked in tribal communities for a long time just training people on what water is, how it works. And they find out that they know quite a lot about water and so forth, because my philosophy has always been it's their water, they should manage it. And so that's where I've been, and the regular people, I don't either, will stand for that crap. But the leadership is going for it. And in my situation, I worked on such a reservation that has so much water you can't believe it, millions and millions of acre feet, but it's also sitting on top of the Bakken Formation. And what happened to me essentially is, you know, something that I thought was a simple termination due to, quote-unquote, lack of money has turned out to be an enormous issue of where I have been blackballed from my profession. I have worked for 30 years as an Indian water rights specialist. I'm a hydrologist by training. I have my doctorate in the field. And, you know, no one has this training. I was set up to do a large Indian water rights settlement on the Missouri River. And having worked for the feds and knowing where I am and how I am, my deal was to essentially try to make sure that the state and the tribes worked together first and created a binding agreement and then just let the United States know. Because I know those people. I know Obama's waters are. You know, I know these people up there. They're no good. And so I hadn't even thought about at all dealing with the eligibility issue. I would never do that, would have never done that. But it did occur to me on behalf of my clients that if I bring a big water settlement to Congress and it's approved, it has to be signed by the president. And it would worry me for my clients that anything signed by an ineligible president would be undone. If you get all the way to Congress with an Indian water rights settlement, you better get it done, or you will never get it done. And it's touchy. But I always thought it could be done with the state and the tribes. But the tribes are really controlled by federal law, and even though that condition existed in North Dakota because of the increasing unity of both the tribes and the states on as against the federal government with particularly regard to water management. I thought this would be a perfect opportunity, but in walks Obama. And now he's trying to pull that away and create his own thing using the Indians to pay back our debt. And if that's what he's going to do, don't you know he's going to rub that in our face? But it's all a ripoff. They're just using Indian people to just rip them off, just like they're ripping us off, but they're taking advantage and, like in Tucson, rubbing it in the face, you know, rubbing raw the emotions during a very traumatic time and slipping in various things like the Indians waving the feather as maybe the new saviors of America because of the energy development, which is not going to go to our country. All right, so I did the Usurpathon in early September. You all know about that. You all know about my blog. I've been very out there. Then I went to the Lagan trial. At the Lagan trial, I had already been terminated from my position at that point, but I had really no idea how big it was until I found out that while at the Lagan trial, there was a big seminar summit with tribal leaders, again linked in my post up there, who were from 12 large Indian reservations, large mineral and water-owning Indian reservations, meeting with Obama and Jarrett. And there were many other people besides those 12 individuals there. Shortly after a new chairman was elected where I went, he was also photographed in a meeting with Mr. Obama. The bottom line is I have actual, not from this meeting necessarily, is I have to protect the information that I have, but I have to tell you, I've got affidavits, sealed affidavits, stored in two different states, in two different locations, that confirm that my name was mentioned as a weapon, is that basically you can have your federal funding or you can work with me, with Dr. Kate. You take your choice. Now, I have freaked out, I did by this, and after the Lagan trial and everything happened after that, and found this out, and then realized the whole thing was a setup, and this was to eliminate me from any question of eligibility, but also absolutely eliminate my work. You want to talk about how the New World Order does something? This is what I've done for 30 years. You know, I make a lot of money per year doing this. I'm a consultant. I've been like this, been on my own for about 10 years, but I've worked in very good jobs and so forth. I am absolutely flat broke. I have no opportunity, no tribe is going to hire me. And I'm the one who does the water stuff. I have a national reputation. This is a serious blow to me. I can imagine it's a serious blow to the tribes I've worked with and who know me and like me. But, you know, if I was given a choice between millions of dollars in federal aid or working with me, you know, I'd take the aid as well. You know, they think there are other hydrologists. I suppose there are, you know, but no one will ever be exactly who you or I am. So we all feel like we have something unique to offer. For me, this was a job at the peak of pinnacle of my career, which would have led to many other things, particularly in the environment of states, tribes, water, and federal agencies. That's the arena I work in. I'm pretty good at it. I know all the sides of it and so forth. But those future opportunities are toast. How can I bring the tribes to the table if they've been ordered not to work with me? So, you know, this is what happens. Would I do it again? Yes. But I think I'd try to wake up sooner because it turns out it's not just me. It's not about me, really. It's about, I think something bigger that I didn't even think about, which was the oil and gas, the minerals, and the Chinese, and the U.S. debt, and our sovereignty, and our internal security. What if we had foreign troops stationed inside reservations, inside the states, to protect their resources? How do you think that's going to make you feel? That's not going to make me feel very good at all. And we try to complain about it, and they're going to start calling racism again. And they're going to do what they did to Arizona, ask, you know, invite other countries to sue the states and break us up completely. This is how serious this is. So as Lame Cherry perceptively pointed this out, is that in Tucson, it was purposeful to invite the tribes to wave a feather over the white people and to possibly bring them in as the new, you know, when you're in a traumatic moment, there, if something strange comes into that traumatic moment, it really makes kind of an impact on you. You're more vulnerable to suggestion. And so what, are the Indians our new saviors that way? What was that about? And then they had the nerve to, like, celebrate off stage, like give each other high fives and fist bumps. For what? That they pulled something else over on us? So let me stop right there for a second, see if there's anyone on the switchboard. No one, of course. Thank you all for listening out there. I hope there are more. But this is what I would call encounters with the New World Order, and they go after you. My blog was then attacked and shut down for a couple of days. My PayPal on my blog, which I had been hoping for, you know, to help me with $20 here and there, for heaven's sakes, to get going, that was intercepted. So I had to take the PayPal thing off my website. Anyway, I've never been doing this to make money anyway, but I'll tell you, this is what they do. You know, I'm no spring chicken, so my career in this area is over. And but I have a blackmail case. I thought it was Quo Warranto, but I have a blackmail case, and this involves the most enormous thing you can possibly imagine. Think about this: energy and our security from the inside, with the Indian reservations who have quasi-sovereignty. No one gives a shit about them or watching them, but I'm telling you right now, he's doing something real bad. And if they had to go after a nobody like me, you know, a little blogger, a hydrologist, I look the other way on the oil stuff. I know how corrupt that is. I want to live. You know, if they have to go after somebody like me to do that, and the dangerous part of doing it to somebody like me, because I'm going to go public, I have to go public, you know, you bet this is serious stuff. And look, this has all just happened right around this time now. And the Arizona shootings come in right away to, you know, everyone's still there. No one's even really reacting to the fact that they can't find the birth certificate. You know, it doesn't exist. And even with that, that's not the issue. But you see how the enormous stress on the populace, in fact, weakens our ability to discern what is happening. And that's what I'm quite concerned about. So it's really true, when you have nothing left, you have nothing left to lose. So I'm not going to get more quiet. I did fear for my life. For the first time ever in my life, I feared for my life. And I'm suing on my wrongful termination. But now that my career is over, the value of the lawsuit goes really far up. And living in a rural area by myself in a cabin in the middle of winter didn't strike me as a very safe place to be. But then with this other business, with Obama and his thugs, and realizing that I just stumbled into something and was at the Lakin trial. And by the way, anyone who was at the Lakin trial has been harassed, had computer problems. You know, Teresa was on the House floor. Teresa Cowell was on the House floor. So wonderful for her to speak up. But she was also at the Lakin trial, too. We've all been harassed. This is happening. And like I say, my blog was just completely attacked, and I'm not a tech whiz on a computer. Like I say, I can drill a well for you, but sometimes a computer really bothers me. Can't get there. So if they're going to go after me, that's something real serious. Now, I've got my own thing. I have to figure out how to survive, but I'm going to be out there. I did have an interesting observation. One of the last things I did in North Dakota was present a testimony before the Army Corps of Engineers on their plan to sell surplus water in the Missouri River. And the entire testimony was based on the Constitution and also on whether the president had the authority to issue any orders. In other words, I raised the eligibility issue in a natural resource context. So you can bet that every EPA hearing and every new hearing that's on any kind of natural resource regulation, I'm 30 years in the natural resource field, kind of know it like the back of my hand. But you're going to see somebody, oh, that damn birther standing up there and saying, you know what, tell me by what authority you have to do what you're doing. And, you know, you need to go all the way up to the president and ask that question, too. By what authority do you have that? That will stump them. It really will, and they will get mad. And I now live in an open carry state. You know, you can carry a concealed weapon as well. And so I will be packing all the time, including in any public hearings. Also, in this state, you can carry those weapons right into bars if you need to as well. So there you go. Anyone who has any interest in knocking me off, remember I've got affidavits and proof on a blackmail case that will could bring the administration down. I've got that information. I'm not shutting up. I'm getting more public. And I wanted to share with you all what has been going on because the blog's been weird. I haven't been able to manage the comments. The show's been off and on. And I'm still fairly stressed by this situation, and hope you'll forgive me for that. I know you will. But in any case, so pulling back out of that then, I don't think we're near the end. We are getting there, getting to near the end perhaps. But the more we continue to expose the New World Order agenda and Obama's actions, the better. It is extremely important to keep going after the eligibility. We have to keep laying that out right now. And as the source, but expect stepped up New World Order attacks and diversions. So in conclusion tonight, I wanted to just have you start taking a look at the reservations around you, Indian reservations, and see what's going on there and see if you can't start looking or at least drawing attention to the need to investigate certain things on those reservations. Keep an eye out for that. And any natural resource moves by the Interior Department, Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Geological Survey, or Minerals Management Service, all of those have to be watched immediately as to what's going on. Any local ordinances that are going on in your communities on quote-unquote sustainable development or anything that has the county giving land back to the Indians as some kind of nicey-nice thing to do and reparations and so forth, stop it. And any efforts that are instituted to give large swaths of land back, they have to be stopped, and it has to be not only based on the Constitution, but based on these other factors that I've laid out tonight. These dots connect them. They're right there. China, oil and gas, eligibility, New World Order, why Congress is cowed. You know, they're all scared. I mean, if you can get shot in a parking lot, you know, I wonder how many other people have been that way. Watch your back. I am still watching mine. You know, I get it. This was an encounter with the New World Order for this little person right here. Keep an eye on that. What else can I say? Protect yourselves. Don't give up. And keep the work up to bring our troops back home. The last thing is Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. I know we're not supposed to use that, but in light of Abercrombie's revelation, please start sending letters out right away. Also, letters to the editor. You know, we have to call for this, phone calls directly, immediate investigation of Lakin court-martial. If there is no birth certificate, Lakin's question, you know, Lakin had the right to ask that question, and they've all been caught with their pants down, and Lakin needs to be let out immediately and restored to full service rank, you know, all back pay, all benefits restored, and so forth, because that was a railroad. See how bad that was? That was intended around Christmas time to block everyone. Yes, I just saw Echo Foxtrot. Yes, I just saw that. Let me just finish that thought up on the eligibility. The Lakin trial was designed to send a message to all the servicemen because it was around Christmas time, right? And Lakin's own attorney crucified him on the stand. That was an execution. I would never want anyone to see what we witnessed that day. But he needs to be let out. Now, Judge Roll, okay, there was a European Times paper that came out right after Giffords, the attempted assassination of Giffords, to really say it was really Judge Roll. And the reason is that Roll had just indicated 72 hours before he was shot, he was going to rule against the Obama administration's efforts to seize the bank accounts of Americans because Obama was using FDR's seizure of gold as a reason for him to be able to seize these people's bank accounts. It's called a case called U.S. v. $335,000. And Judge Roll was going to rule that, notwithstanding that precedent, that executive order, that the Obama administration could not seize that money without clear evidence of criminal intent. When I've begun to look through this, there are actually several cases Roll was ruling in the same way, and several attempts in Arizona for Obama to try to seize bank accounts. Now do you understand why Arizona is a target? And also, literally, why there was an assassination that happened. Now, I'm going to write about this more because I've uncovered a lot of other information about this, but he had his security removed. There was an FBI agent there. He was told to come to the event. He didn't voluntarily drop by. So I think the whole thing was a sham and a setup. I've got just 1 minute left here, so I'm going to leave that for now, and maybe tomorrow night we'll be able to go there. But tonight I'm going to sign off. Please join Terry Dodd tomorrow night, and I will sign off right now this evening. Thank you so much. God bless America. God bless our troops. Thank you all for coming. Here we go.
Oh, that should die of me protesting. Children dying every day. My name is nobody, but I can't wait to see your face inside my door. Oh. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you got me all in the notebook, writing it down every day. Your name is off. Your name is Cecilia. I'll change if you vote me in as a friend. In the den of your throne. I live in the ghetto. You just come to visit me round election time. Hi. My name is Secluded. We live in a house the size of a mattress. Roaches live with us wall to wall. You've killed all our leaders. I don't even have to do nothing to you. You cause your own country to fall.